You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Up next, we have a piece on the Modern Slavery Act in Australia. Australia has just passed a Modern Slavery Act, which hopes to mitigate modern slavery in Australian businesses and support victims. New Zealand currently doesn't have the same legislation or a worthy equivalent, but it's thought that this act in Australia will have trickle-down effects in New Zealand. To find out more, I spoke to the Equal Employment Opportunity Commissioner at the Human Rights Commission, Dr. Farina Sumeo. Let's play that now. Can you please briefly explain what modern slavery is and what conditions can fall under modern slavery?
Well, modern slavery is an umbrella term, is how we use it here in New Zealand. And it covers like human trafficking, forced labour, forced marriage, the exploitation of children and women. So those sort of categories is what's covered under modern slavery in our understanding here in New Zealand.
So it's estimated that 40 million people are directly affected by modern slavery worldwide. But what would you say the scope of its flow-on effect is? How far it reaches?
Oh, I mean, it's a global issue, and the information that we have is that it's big in the Asia Pacific region, so like in places like Sri Lanka, Indonesia, China, Malaysia, in those sort of countries, it's a big issue. I mean, I was in Nepal last November, and it's a big issue for them, where there are land borders between countries, and you've got almost like a free flow of people going between countries, and it's really hard for the host country to monitor, and therefore in terms of the flow of migrants, the exploitation of migrants, usually driven by poverty, people looking for opportunities, to support themselves and their families, things that you and I can understand. But that poverty and the corruption and the lack of monitoring ability of states to monitor that flow of labor and how they're being treated, those are some of the big issues that in a way enable modern slavery to continue.
So Australia's first federal Modern Slavery Act was passed in 2018. What's the goal of a Modern Slavery Act, and how does it affect actual change?
Well, my understanding of, so we're commenting from our perspective, and we don't have equivalent legislation, but my understanding of what Australia's trying to do is they've got a public register that anyone can access and look at the information, and they're requiring companies that make a profit of $100 million a year or above, and it may be a big mother, might be like a bank, and a lot of our banks here are owned by Australia, so they have to report to Australia. They have to provide what they call a modern slavery statement, and then what steps are they doing to take any action if they identify modern slavery occurring in their supply chains. So it's that sort of thing. What wasn't clear to me from that piece of legislation are the consequences of non-compliance. And so I think if we think about doing something similar here, we have to think beyond a public register, because that's about naming and shaming, basically. That's not enough. I think we need some consequences. For example, if someone breaches breaches the law, perhaps they're not allowed to apply for government business.
Mm. What sectors are most likely to encounter modern slavery in New Zealand?
Well, according to our information, construction, horticulture, and hospitality are the three big ones that come to mind, and retail also. So, I mean, we've heard of stories of international students being taken advantage of, being working at the liquor store or working in local businesses. Not necessarily the big businesses where the stuff is happening. It's a lot of the stuff is going undercover in those small enterprises. Of course, we've heard of exploitation happening to RSE workers from the Pacific. Despite all the monitoring that goes on there, it's still happening. So we need to really be a bit more savvy and respond much more quicker if we're going to stop this sort of behavior and exploitation of people. Because it says something about New Zealand, if it goes out there that actually, you can get away with it in New Zealand of all places, So it's also about our brand as a country, about our values and how we take this seriously and how we take human rights seriously.
It's estimated that there are around 3,000 people in New Zealand that live under the conditions of modern slavery. We've just been talking about Australia's Modern Slavery Act, but you've mentioned that there isn't a New Zealand Modern Slavery Act.
No.
Do we have anything similar?
Well, we've got the Crimes Act, and there are protections in there, and we've got the immigration laws, but we don't have a specific law like in the UK or Australia. We don't have a Modern Slavery Act, and I think perhaps we should consider having a specific act, so one that goes beyond naming and shaming, and actually, dishes out disciplinary action on businesses. So that would be something for us to think about. And I think, that number you said, Zoe, of 3,000, because it's so undercover, I'm not sure how that 3,000 came about, and it's possibly more than that we don't know of. And so, let's deal with that as an indicator, as opposed to this is the totality of the issue, because I suspect it's bigger than that.
Right. Who bears the most responsibility when it comes to ensuring there isn't any modern slavery? Is it the government, businesses, organisations like the Human Rights Commission, or the consumer?
I think it's a combination, eh? It's a combination, because we are bringing in people because our businesses need their skill, so we benefit as a nation from them. So as a nation, as a government, they should hold some responsibility. Individual businesses who profit out of this, they should hold some responsibilities. Recruiters who bring them in, they should bear some responsibilities. And also overseas governments who also benefit from the remittances that go from the workers here back home, they should have some responsibilities. And I know the union, some of the unions are trying to, I think it's First Union, they go over to Samoa, for example, and do programs with people who are going to come over so they understand their rights. Some basic stuff like that. So the unions have some responsibility also. So it's a number of, it's on different levels. But if we just say it's the government's problem, I think that's too high level, and you're not going to get to the bottom where things are happening, So, and also our overseas governments must also take responsibility. It has to be constant conversations if we're going to stop the practice.
Consumer Research New Zealand reported that 83% of New Zealanders would cease to trade with unethical suppliers. But judging by the reach of modern slavery, do you think that this is actually accurate? For example, lots of people know that clothing brands such as H&M or Zara are unethical with regard to cheap production and also their environmental effect, but at the end of the day, they still can't resist the cheap deals. What do you think needs to be done to really get people to understand this issue of modern slavery and then to mitigate it?
Right, so what you're indicating is something really, really important, that at the end of the day, if there's no demand for these products, then the business is gone. So I think there needs to be a lot more public awareness. Like I can say my family have never heard of the term modern slavery. Okay, so we need to translate what that means to normal language. But if I say, but someone from someone's village came and they ended up living in a place where you have 15 people in one house and they weren't getting enough food, then they'll understand it in those words. So we have to translate this language of modern slavery to normal language and have a lot more media coverage on it, put it on the TV so that it's in the public space, because that will ultimately hit consumers then to make a decision. Should I buy from there because it's $5 cheaper, or am I thinking about possibly, do I care about people who are producing this? People care about children. People care about people from the Pacific. We all care about our international students. So you've got to hit them in the heart, I think. It's not enough to have data for policy people and, businesses. You've got to hit the consumer in the heart. And I think that's when you're going to get the shift.
Is modern slavery something both policymakers and the general public should be paying more attention to leading up to the election this September?
I think they should. And I say that because we are reliant on our on our people that we bring in from overseas, to help work in our businesses. For example, in the aged care sector, at least a third of workers there are from overseas. So we're reliant on them, and so we need to protect them. So it's in our interest to protect them and do what's best, not only for them, for our country and our image as a country. And because otherwise we our brand, you know, the great brand of 5 million that we've just developed in terms of overcoming COVID, that is something that's going to bring us real economic value going forward. And so we can't afford to tarnish that brand now, especially under the current circumstance. Mm. So it's really important for us to act. And certainly the Commission is making a commission. That's one of my priorities as EEO Commissioner going forward. That's one of the things that I'm focusing on in terms of advocacy. And I know certainly MD, they've got work teams looking at human trafficking and migrant exploitation. We've got the Anglican Church, Salvation Army, and a number of other civil societies advocating for a better response from government. So there are people out there, but perhaps not in one unified voice, which will probably make a difference. But it's certainly on my agenda.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add before we wrap up the interview?
Probably one thing. It's really important if you can send a message out to any of our students, because we know international students are one of the high-risk groups. Please encourage them to contact MB for support. Contact us if they need to have someone to talk to, if they're in trouble. Especially now, there's no need for them to suffer. It's really important they reach out for help.
The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.